On this episode, I talk about the quantitative elements of putting together a marketing strategy and how they interact with the qualitative elements of putting one together as well. There's a lot of components to putting together a successful marketing strategy, especially for B2B SaaS startups, but here's one that I see almost everyone get wrong. And that's the first part of it all, which is the part of category creation and product marketing. Now, when most people think about product marketing, they really think about it in a very tactical way. And the tactics that come to mind are sales enablement materials, product positioning statements, one-pagers, slide decks for the sales team, pricing and packaging, things like that. But if you really get down to the core of product marketing, what it is it's creating a strategic narrative around who your company is, what your company makes, how it's different from everything else that's on the market, and how the type of thing that it is new, and why that solves a problem that your customers either weren't completely aware of yet or are experiencing but aren't actively looking for solutions for yet as well. And this part is where a lot of companies get things wrong. So what happens is that in early stage B2B SaaS startups, the founder has often completed a lot of customer interviews and has a deep knowledge and deep amount of knowledge about what the customer's pain actually is. And they usually have also developed a deep amount of knowledge on the technology solutions that are available for solving that pain and why those technology solutions are inadequate. But what goes wrong is when you try to jump straight into creating a marketing funnel and executing different tactics and strategies without really getting your point of view down in a very methodical way. And what I mean by that is, what is the founder's point of view on the key problems that his customer is experiencing? What are the real pains of your customers? What are the real aspirations of your customers, and what are the real needs of your customers? Like, that needs to be very, very clearly defined. And second, what needs to happen is, what is your point of view on the solutions and alternatives that exist in the market today that are being used to try to meet those needs, achieve those goals, or solve those problems? And if you don't have a clear point of view on what those alternatives are, if you don't have categories that you can lump them into, and if you don't have a clear point of view on what makes your category different and what makes your solution better and different than everything else that's out there, the rest of your marketing is just going to be very confusing, and it's going to fail because it's going to come from a shaky understanding of who you are and what you do. And this sounds really high level and kind of head in the clouds. When I read about things like this in the past, they never really made much sense to me, but I'm at the stage now where I've got to work with a lot of different founders. And you have to remember that just besides the companies that I've worked at that have been really successful and grown, I've also worked with a lot of startup companies that just never launched or never really became successful. And I've learned a lot of lessons from doing that as well. And this main lesson, this first lesson, is the first step that everyone gets wrong. And that's not clearly defining who you are, what you do, how you do it, and how you solve the problem for your category. The second problem that I see happening a lot of the time is it over-indexing on a certain type of go-to-market strategy. So, for example, everyone really likes to over-index on inbound marketing today, right? Everyone's all about creating content, providing helpful content, becoming a content brand. But the problem is that inbound marketing, it is effective, but it takes a lot of time and effort to execute. And without the right ABM strategy in place, and especially if your website isn't ranking on SEO and you don't have an email list or any way to distribute your content in a meaningful way to your target audience, inbound marketing becomes difficult to use as a mechanism to really generate predictable numbers of leads, predictable numbers of opportunities, and predictable numbers of deals that, you know, turn into that, to turn into customers. So a problem I see happen a lot is startups will over-index on inbound and they'll completely ignore outbound, especially in the early stages. And I've also seen the opposite problem where founders are so over-indexed on outbound that they completely ignore inbound. And that's not good either, because you need to actually arm your sales reps with something to say, and you have to find a way to keep people on your website and convert them once they get there, as well as build up site traffic and build that automated conversion process that the inbound marketing can really facilitate. Now, the third and final mistake I see a lot of startup companies make when they approach their marketing strategy is they're just not methodical enough about it. So let's talk about your outbound strategy, for example, right? So let's say you need to close two customers a month, or your goal is to close 24 customers in a year. So what you need to do is you need to look at how many, you know, leads do you need to generate, how many emails do you have to send to those leads, how many meetings are you booking, how many of those meetings are turning into opportunities, and how many of those opportunities are turning into customers. And then you need to use your goal, whatever your goal is for customers, and work backward using all of those ratios, and eventually you get to a set of numbers. And the numbers you get to are, okay, I need to purchase this many leads per month. I need to get leads from this many accounts per month. I need to send this many emails or cold calls to these leads per month that result in this many meetings and that result in this many opportunities to get to my customer number. And then you need to be comfortable with executing that and realizing that it may take 3 to 6 months for you to start getting any customers at all, or start getting customers in a volume that is consistent with your projections, because it just takes time to work out the kinks of your process. So without understanding the numbers of all of this, what's going to happen at your startup is you're going to do some outbound, but you're not going to do it in a methodical way. Or if you have an SDR team, you're going to tell them to do outbound, but you're never going to be sure if you're doing enough. And what's going to happen is if you are successful at creating customers through your outbound strategy, it's kind of going to be an accident. And if you're not, you're not going to know why. You're not going to know if it was because you tried to send too many emails and your quality dropped and all your conversion rates at different stages dropped because of it. You're not going to know if your quality was actually good and you just didn't have enough volume going through your funnel to turn into customers. So it's really important to take that methodical, quantitative approach to planning your outbound marketing strategy. And you need to do the same thing for your inbound marketing strategy as well. You need to take that quantitative, methodical approach, a structured approach there as well. And inbound marketing is a little bit more complicated. The first part about it is you have to really get your buyer's journey right? You have to map your content to pre-awareness, awareness, consideration, and decision. And the second thing that you really need to get right is you need to find your one channel early on. Now, depending on what industry you're in or whether or not you are really running exclusively an ABM go-to-market, I've found that blogging and SEO is actually still a really powerful and really useful channel for generating repeatable traffic, bringing in big accounts, and creating an inbound sale marketing movement that is measurable, repeatable, and predictable to a degree. There is a place where inbound eventually caps out. However, that place is different for every company. And generally, I would say the more you lean towards a ABM model, the faster inbound marketing will cap out. And the more you can really work with any company, SMB, mid-market, enterprise, if you have solutions for all three, there's almost no limit to the success you can achieve with inbound. Take HubSpot, for example. Now, Now with that out of the way, the quantitative metrics you need to look out for inbound are, you're going to need to look at your traffic channel. You're going to need to look at traffic. You're going to need to look at different conversion pathways you've created. I like to think of three different conversion pathways. One is your awareness level pathway, which is just anything where you're simply collecting an email address and nothing else, right? So that's all awareness. If you're collecting any more information than an email address, that's a consideration pathway. This is an oversimplification, but if you're collecting full contact information and it's related to a demo or it's a demo request, that's a decision pathway. So you need to look at the conversion rate for all of those pathways, and then you need to look at basically how you are acquiring traffic to your website, how your website is routing traffic to those pathways, and how well those pathways are converting traffic into leads that are at different stages of their buyer's journey. So once you have those numbers down, what you look at next is you look at your nurturing workflows, right? So for your awareness leads, you have nurturing workflows to push them to consideration. For your consideration leads, you have nurturing workflows to push them to decision. And for your decision leads, you really mostly have sales workflows to push them to close into a customer. So you need to look at the conversion rates across all those workflows for, you know, pushing them into the next workflow, pushing them along the funnel, and pushing them into a decision. And at the end of that, you're going to get a picture of, okay, I currently generate this much traffic. That traffic follows these pathways and results in this many awareness stage leads, consideration stage leads, and decision stage leads. And, you know, you can get a lot more complicated than that, but just for a basic template, that's a great place to start. Then you need to look at your nurturing sequences. And let's say you take a really simple approach with it. And even if a person converts on an awareness level asset, you still ask for the demo request during your nurturing sequence to them anyways, just to see if they might be ready to talk to sales. You know, it never hurts to ask, which is actually what I recommend you do if you're at an early stage startup company, is do that, because you need to really quickly get results, and you need to rush them a little bit, not overly pushy. This is where the qualitative portion comes into marketing. But what you'll be able to see is your generation of demo requests, and then you'll be able to see on your inbound sales processes, which is why it's important that you separate your inbound demo follow-ups processes and separate them from your outbound. So you can look in your reporting and see that, okay, my inbound sales movements actually produce this conversion rate from demo booking to opportunity creation into closed won customers. Because if you have them together, then it's going to get very muddled and you're not going to get a clear picture. So once you have all those numbers figured out, then again, you just go back to, you know, your goal setting and see, okay, how many customers do I need to acquire this year? I feel that marketing and sales should own 50-50. And actually, you know, that's not a good way to split it up. I feel that outbound should and inbound should account for 50-50 of the deals. And that's not to say that other marketing activities like ABM and stuff can't influence outbound and inbound and crossover, but just from a goal setting standpoint. So you look at your total customers that you need to generate, add them to your calculations, and work your way all the way back to traffic, right? And now you know how much traffic you need to generate to your website. And that's the first number you attack, is generating more website traffic and more of the right website traffic. And one of the best ways I've found to do that, to generate it repeatably, is to write really long form, extremely exhaustive articles that fit your buyer's journey and are also optimized for SEO, and use them as a way to rank number one for topics that your buyer persona is searching for, and grab that traffic. The first goal with setting up your inbound should be to get as much traffic as possible. You really need to cross the 5,000 to 10,000 unique visitors per month mark to really start seeing results from inbound. For reference, currently, I've grown traffic at Maya all the way past 50,000 unique visitors a month, and we're really starting to get really good results in our inbound strategy. So that wraps up this episode. You know, remember to take a quantitative and qualitative approach to your go-to-market strategy, and don't make the three mistakes that I've seen a lot of startup companies make when creating their go-to-market. And you know, you'll give yourself a good shot at executing the right go-to-market strategy. I hope you enjoyed that episode of 84. And just so you know, we are officially back for the next season of 84. I have 6 guests lined up over the next 6 weeks. I'm going to be releasing an episode every week, and we are going to get right back on track to achieving my goal, which is recording and publishing 100 episodes on 84. So stay tuned, and big thank you to everyone that's been listening to my episodes. You know, I just crossed over 400 listens, which it doesn't sound like much, but it's a cool milestone for me. I remember when I first started out doing this, I think I published about 15 episodes, and I got a total of 3 listens in the beginning. So it's definitely really cool to see those numbers continuing to go up, and I hope you guys are getting value from this podcast. So I will see you next time on 84, and stay tuned, because I've got a lot of really cool and exciting guests coming up that I'm pumped to share with you guys.